Hi, everybody. This is the Ramble Redhead Show. Again, we'd like to welcome you today. We have a very, very special guest, and I'm very honored to have her on the program. And her name is Alice Langford, and she is from the Indianapolis area. And what I'd like to do is just tell you how I was able to meet this wonderful lady. And the funny thing is that I think everything happens in life for a reason. And one of the things that I did is two weeks ago, I had went to a church that's not very far from my house that I found to be very gay-friendly. And so I decided to check it out. And I have to tell you that all these people were very, very welcoming, and I really appreciate that. And one of the things that was said in the sermon by the pastor was that she had went to a recent conference that was held in Indianapolis, and one of the things that she did is she had the honor to meet Alice, and she'd also heard more about her, and she found out what she had been doing. I don't want to get into that yet because I'd like Alice to tell us. But one of the things that she said was the message of hoping and giving, and that's basically why I'm having Alice on the show. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Alice to the program. Hi, Alice.
Hi, I'm glad to be here
with you. Okay, great. I'm so happy that you are too. And I was wondering if you could tell our listeners a little bit more about you, like how old you are, and about the kids and grandkids and all that good stuff.
Well, I'm a 75-year-old great-grandmother. I have 4 children, mm-hmm. 8 grandchildren, and now I have 2 great-grandchildren.
Wow, that's great.
And they call me the old one with the shoe with so many children because I also feel like I have hundreds of other children that I've accumulated over the years.
Okay.
Through my work with the HIV/AIDS ministry.
Okay, well, let's...
And I got...
Okay, well, let's...
You tell me what you'd like to
Okay,
do.
Well, let's go ahead and get started with that. So how did that all process start for you?
Well, the process started... I was married 30 years and then got a divorce. And then I was looking around, what can I do with my life? So one Sunday, the minister is preaching a sermon. As Christians, how do we deal with people living with AIDS? And he said, there's a nursing home right around the corner, and they need volunteers. So I'm sitting there thinking, that's something I could do. And it was kind of like, you know, if you can imagine, God speaking to you, saying, this is where I want you to go. So I said, okay. I went down to the nursing home and went in, and you have to go through a test. I had to have a TB test and a background test and so forth. This was back in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went into a big room that they called the day room, and there was a young man sitting there in the corner, and I thought, well, I've got to start somewhere. So I went up to him, and I said, would you like to go to lunch? And he said, oh, yes. And I said, where would you like to go? And he said, the White Castle. And I said, oh, you're a man after my own heart, because I love White Castle, and I never can get anybody to go with me. So we went. And when we came back to the nursing home, all the other guys said, where'd you go, where'd you go? And we said, well, we went to the White Castle. Well, then several of them said, oh, I would like to go. I like White Castle. So we formed the White Castle Club. And there was probably half a dozen of us that went to the White Castle.
Wow.
And then at that time, I was still working in the school district. And so Saturday was my only day to do something with them. And once in a while, I'd go in the evening. But at the beginning, mostly it was Saturdays. Well, they wanted to go out. And one of the boys said to me, you know, people come and visit us, and people take us out, but they never take us home. And I thought, oh, my. So I said, well, you're going home with me. So instead of going out to eat, we decided that we'd come here. So on Saturdays, I would fix fix a meal, and I'd bring as many as I could here on Saturdays. Well, as time went on, there was a girl living in the nursing home, and she was dismissed because she was well enough that she didn't qualify to live there anymore. But she didn't have a place to go. So I said, okay, come live with me for a while, and then you can determine what you want to do. Well, she's been here 8 years.
Wow.
But she was a great cook. She loved to cook. And I said, okay, we can do this. Now, if I've got somebody to help me cook, we'll bring everybody from the nursing home. So all the patients would come. We'd go get them every Thursday, and I'd have people that would help me drive to bring them. So, 'cause a lot of them were in wheelchairs, walkers. We'd take them, whatever their circumstance, and they wanted to come, we'd bring them. So we did that for a long time. Well, then in 2001, they closed Parkview, so they moved all those people to different nursing homes, so we didn't have the opportunity to, and it wasn't as easy to get them. So we started having dinners less often.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, our dinner consists of dinner, we have a fellowship time, and then we did the soul train. We'd go out and I have a big garage, we'd play the radio, and we'd go out and sing and dance. Some of those, we've even danced in wheelchairs down the soul train, if you know anything about the soul train.
That's great.
We had lots of fun with people.
Wow, that's amazing. And so I was just curious, what would you say the age group would be, the age range would be?
The age group varied from the early 20s to, I'd say, probably the oldest one was 50-something.
50?
And we had one lady, I was her health care coordinator, and she was about 70-something.
Wow.
We had all ages, all kinds, all sexual persuasions, all colors.
Okay.
It was quite a variety of people that I'm sure would never have known each other had they not been in this nursing home situation.
Right.
Because they were from all kinds of backgrounds.
And just to clarify for the listeners is that, you know, prior to this, that you had known, you know, no gay people at all.
Oh, I didn't have any idea. Well, I like I've said before, I was scared to death when I went to Parkview because I didn't know any gay people. I didn't know anything about AIDS. I was very naive about a lot of things, except I felt like I'm a Christian and God told me to love your neighbor as yourself. And so I went in there to try to love and care for them, and that developed greatly over the years because they loved me and I loved them. And that's what we based all of our relationships on.
Wow.
Love.
That's incredible. And
caring.
Yeah. And that's
and tolerance, because, you know, there were a variety of people and they had learned about each other because they weren't all from the same background. They weren't all gay. They weren't all white.
Mm-hmm.
You know? At the beginning you kind of thought this was a gay white man's disease, so it wasn't.
Right.
But it took a while before people realized that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and so, you know, knowing that you had to deal with all the different people and different spectrums and, you know, all the different ages and things like that. And it says, how would people, I mean, prior to the facility leaving there, how do people today learn about your program? Is it networking there?
Word of mouth, mainly, word of mouth. I mean, in Indianapolis, you just say something about Alice's dinners, especially in the gay community. I'm very well known in the gay community, but most of it's word of mouth.
Wow.
Because I, you know, I'm just a one person, have dinners and invite the friends. I don't have any kind of, it's my ministry. It's not anything that I do through a group. I'm working through the group with my church. But when I started, it was all by myself.
Wow.
So it was just word of mouth.
Okay.
People that came there as volunteers, and they would say, oh, can we help you? And I'd say yes. And so I'd get volunteers and people coming. So it's basically word of mouth.
Yeah. Well, one of the questions I asked you prior to the interview was, you know, obviously I wanted you to think about all the different people that you had dealt with over the years, and I was just wondering, did you have any one in particular that really kind of stood out for you, that really helped inspire you, or maybe taught you a lesson that maybe you didn't expect?
Yes, and I think if I had to pick one out of all of them, it would be Richie Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And Richie Cooper came there from prison. He'd been in prison, and he told me that he wanted me to start a Bible study type fellowship at Parkview because they didn't have anything like that. And a lot of ministers didn't want to come there. A lot of people didn't want to come there, especially on any kind of a regular basis. And I said to him, well, I'm not really not qualified, but he had become quite a Bible scholar in prison. And so he said he would help me. And so he and I would spend a lot of time studying and talking over the Bible and over the lessons, and he's the one who got me started, and he's gone now, but he's still an inspiration to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his spirit is still with me.
Wow.
But I think of all the people, he probably had the most influence on me, especially in the beginning. I didn't know anything or anybody, and I didn't know how to go about things.
Right.
He was a great help and a great inspiration to me.
Wow. Well, that's great, and obviously, I'm sure that, you know, one of the things that you said to me earlier, too, that really, you know, it touched my heart was the fact that, you know, there, you know, unfortunately with the gay community, there's a lot of people that, you know, once they do come out to their family or their friends, that they get a rather negative reaction. And so obviously by you doing what you've done and the volunteers and the other people that have helped you.
Well, And it's been a big eye-opener for me because I've tried to be a mother to a lot of them whose parents and family turned away from mm-hmm. them because they were gay and they came out. And I've dealt with parents, too, and I've tried to educate parents because I'd had parents that would come up here and they wouldn't want to, like, drink after their child, or they'd take their child home and they'd give them a plastic cup and they had to carry it around the house all the time. And parents that would come and didn't have a place to stay because they lived too far away, and I would have them keep the parents here at my house so they could go visit their child and try to educate the parents, you know, this is what you do. This is how you get AIDS. You know, you don't have to give them a cup to carry around the house all day. You don't have to follow them around with Clorox. And I've had so many stories by people who have had so many problems and whose parents have just turned against them. And that's a real shame. But I have tried to take that place with a lot of them and be the parent and be the caring person for them in their life. And that's a real shame because sometimes parents are just ignorant of the whole situation. And some parents you can educate and bring them into the fold. And there's organizations for parents like that. It's called PFLAG. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people need to be involved in that or know about it at least if they have a problem. But I think my idea was to be very accepting of everybody. We didn't turn anybody away. We didn't care what their background was or what their circumstances. We brought them in here, and we loved and cared for them, and we became a big, loving family.
Mm-hmm.
Our family group here is very extensive. Because we all, that's one of the rules here, you know, come in and love your neighbor, no matter what they look like or what they seem like.
Wow. And one of the things you also mentioned that, of course, obviously, you know, when you first started that, you know, meeting and interacting with gay people, but also, you know, the different aspects of the gay community, and one in particular, like the transgender, and I was wondering, you mentioned about that, I was wondering, could you, you know, go into a little bit about that and what that experience was like?
Well, it was interesting because when I started having my dinners, of course, I told the nurses, I said, we don't turn anybody away. We won't turn anybody for any reason away.
Right.
If they want to come. And she called me one day and she says, well, I have two transgendered people that want to come. Is that okay with you? And I said, yes, I didn't know what transgendered was.
Mm-hmm.
And so she explained to me that they were, she said, they're in reality tall black men, but they dress as women and they want to be called women. You know, they wanted to be addressed as if they were women. I said, okay, as long as I know what they want to do, that's the way we'll address them. And so they came, and it was Callie and Tanya, and we loved Callie and Tanya, and they wanted to be women, so here they were looked on as women, talked to as women, and it was a whole new world to me, but I loved and cared for them, and they loved me, and I think if you're accepting and you learn to know people individually on their own merits, it doesn't matter what their background is. You can't make judgments and lump everybody and put them all in a group and say, well, everybody in this group is one way, and everybody in this group is another way. It's not true. You have to judge people on their own merits. No matter what their background is.
Right.
And pretty soon you learn that we're all pretty much alike as human beings.
Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing, and that's so beautiful. And see, that's, you know, again, that's the basic of my show, that I just want people to understand that it's okay to be who you are. It's okay to, you know, and you shouldn't be ashamed of who you are. And
absolutely
and
not.
That, yeah, there are wonderful people, just like Alice. There's wonderful people that you know, that are out there in this world that really are compassionate and really want you to be happy and successful. And if you can get it from your family or friends, then you have to find the outlets where you can.
But then you have to find, that's right, then you find another route.
Yeah,
and there are people out there, and sometimes they're hard to find, mm-hmm. but they are out there. And I think that's my message, you know, that you love your neighbor, you care for each other, and that's what God told us to do. He didn't tell us to judge each other. He told us to love and care for each other.
And go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's all, you know, that's all.
Yeah, because one of the things you also said that you, because like you just said, is that you want to help everybody. You don't, like you said, if you basically discriminate against one group, then you know, then that's not what Jesus would have done, and that's what, you know, that's why,
you know,
that's the path that you followed.
You know,
and
I've had people here that I thought, he's dirty, he's scruffy, he's off the street, do I want to have him in my house?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, no, that's the very person that Jesus would bring into his house.
Yep.
And so I think, okay, God, this is the one you want in here. This is what we bring in.
Wow.
So we don't like any differentiation about people or their background or what they look like, or, and you find that they are just loving, caring people, and some of their circumstances in their lives and their growing up have been terrible, and you can understand why they're in the situation they're in.
Yeah.
But they just need somebody to love and care for them, and that's true of everybody.
Right. Alice, one of the other things that I wanted to ask you, because I think it's really important, and you know, and also because of what you're doing is so wonderful and you've been helping so many people, but unfortunately with everything that is a blessing, unfortunately there are things that are negative that you have to deal with, and unfortunately when you deal with HIV and AIDS patients, unfortunately you have unfortunately lost a lot of dear friends that you've made over the years, and I was just wondering, Could you tell us a little bit about how that's been for you?
Well, and especially in the beginning years, we would lose so many. I mean, we'd have sometimes 5 and 6 deaths in a month, sometimes even more. And at the beginning, it's hard because you get so attached to people. And you think, well, and I remember asking a minister one time as he was walking through the halls at Parkview, and we'd just had some deaths. I said, how many times can your heart break? How many times can you go through something like this? And he said to me, your heart can break innumerable times. It just repairs itself. And I thought, that's how I've lived with it. I thought, okay, my heart's got a lot of cracks and breaks in it, but it keeps repairing itself because I try to make sure that all the people I deal with, I know that they're Christians, I know that where they're going to go, and that I'm going to see them again. And I think that's how I deal with it. And sometimes they've suffered so that, believe me, there's things worse than death. And sometimes death is a welcome relief. And
right.
I'm always grateful when I've seen somebody that suffered a long time have the relief of going to be with the Lord and to be in paradise. Because Jesus says, you know, I'm going to create a place for you, and where I am, you will be also. So that's how I deal with it. I deal with it knowing that they're with the Lord, and they're much better off.
Yeah. Wow, that's just amazing. And, you know, obviously, you know, with the, you know, intervention of new medications and things like that, that they are able to help people, you know, of course, you know, live longer.
Yes, living longer and better lives. That's true.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful blessing.
Yes, it is. And I was just wondering, I mean, looking back when you started this in 93 and looking at today, what would you say the major differences from then versus now would be?
People are living longer and better lives. Instead of having to be relegated to a nursing home and possibly facing death imminently, now people are living longer and better. But I still stress safe sex and caring for themselves, because if they don't take their meds, if they don't do what they're supposed to, all these medicines don't work all the time and they don't protect you. And a lot of guys think, oh, I'm feeling great, I'm doing good, I'm quit taking my meds. Well, and once you quit taking them, and then you start again, they don't always work.
Right.
Because
there's a certain regimen that you have to be on.
Right.
You have to maintain it, otherwise, like I said.
It's like anything.
Yeah.
You know, it works while you're using it. When you quit using it, it quits working.
Right.
And I think it's important for young people and people who think, well, I'll take a pill and everything will be okay, even if I get AIDS. It's not quite that simple.
Yeah.
And quit working. And I mean, there's all kinds of side effects of things, and these pills are very toxic.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that I think people need to take in consideration before they do what I would consider just things that are unsafe.
Right, exactly. And that's also one of the things that you did when, well, the schools and stuff, is that you would talk about AIDS prevention.
Yes, I worked in a high school, and I would talk to, when the teachers would ask me, they knew what I did. So if they wanted me to talk to their students, I would, because I thought it was very important for young people that age to get the information. And we also taught the licensed practical nursing program, and I spoke to those every year whenever they would get to the stage in their training related to AIDS. They would have me come in and talk to their students about it.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, well, I just think it's amazing what you've done, and I was just wondering, because I meant to ask you this earlier, is that obviously you took what your pastor had said to you to the heart, and
yeah.
I was just wondering, I was just wondering what has his response been since you've done all this?
Well, unfortunately, the minister who gave this sermon is no longer with us. But he was very supportive of me. At Parkview, he would give me Bibles to take to the pill. He was always very supportive of me. Now, he's dead at this time. But the minister I have at Broadway now is very supportive. And I work with different groups in the city. And I'm supported by a variety of people that I don't know if you're familiar at all in Indianapolis with the Bag Ladies. But
no.
I work their group of they dress up at Halloween and drag and they go around and collect money for AIDS.
And wow.
So I have groups that help me. I provide most of all the food and the money and so forth out of my own pocket. But over the years it's amazing how God works in your life, because I tell people, be careful what you pray for, you may get it.
Mm-hmm.
And when the nursing home closed and all the people scattered around, I said, okay, God, where am I going to find people who need this fellowship, who need this support, who have AIDS, and they're not in the community that I can get to? How am I going to get them? And it's like God said, okay, I'll take care of that. Well, you'd be amazed at the places that have called, doctor's offices that have recommended their patients to me, and churches have given me, this person needs you to talk to, and so you get people. I've gotten people, and I don't turn any of them away because I don't know why I'm getting the call from them, but I get calls from people all the time. Well, it sounds like what you're doing, I'd like to be involved with. Well, then in this last week, I said, okay, God, if you're going to bring me all these more people, I'm going to have a little help financially because I'm retired and my income doesn't increase.
Right.
So I don't know if you're familiar with the lady that you got the information from. She was at the Gay and Lesbian Coalition here in Indianapolis.
Right.
And they took up a donation and gave me money, and they gave me the money. They could have given it to a variety of groups, but they chose me. And so God has answered that prayer of taking care of my financial needs to help me buy food for my dinners.
Wow.
So
well, that's
amazing. Prayer. So God has, I feel, okay, God is... If I'm doing your work, I'm going to keep doing your work as long as you're in. He's taking care of me, so.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And it's such a beautiful thing. And, you know, and you're so inspiring, and you just give everybody a lot of hope. And I really hope the listeners will really appreciate, what you're doing. And maybe hopefully they can get involved and do something in their community.
I would like to leave you with this thought, that step out in faith. Don't be afraid to step out and say, I'm gay. Don't be afraid to say, I'm this or that. Step out in faith, and if you have God in your life, he's going to walk with you. Maybe you won't have somebody else walking beside you, but you always have God walking beside you. And that's what I did. I stepped out in faith. I didn't know what I was going to get into. Somebody told me 10 or 15 years ago I'd be doing this. I'd say, you're crazy. So you don't know. But
yep.
I think that's one of those things that everybody needs, especially in the gay community. You know, don't be afraid. Step out in faith and make your life committed and love one another, and I think you'll go far in this world.
Wow. Well, I think, Alice, you must have the ability to read minds, because, see, one of the questions I always ask my guests is that if you had the ability to talk with, obviously, all my listeners, and they're from all over the world, and see, the thing is that with podcasting, the majority probably would say is more younger people.
Sure.
And so one of the things that I always ask my guests is, if you had the option to speak to the community like you have a forum here, that I was just wondering what you would say, and I think basically I would say just listen to this whole episode again, but I was just wondering, do you have anything else that you'd like to add to that at all?
No, other than what I've said, I think live by the rule of do unto others as you'd have them do unto you.
Yeah. And see, one thing I want to tell you, because again, I think it's amazing how, you know, everything happens for a reason. Like, for example, last August, be honest with you, a couple of months before that, I had started to learn about iTunes. I started learning about podcasting. I started, listening to gay programming. And I listened to one particular one, and it has to be a drag queen up in Minneapolis. And he does a show, and her name is Wanda Wisdom. And see, one of the things that she had said is that if you feel that you have a voice that you want to be shared, then you have to do it. And so I started to investigate, and that's why I decided to do this podcast. And to be honest with you, just like what you said, that if you'd have been asked 10 years years ago, or 15 years ago, if you'd be doing this, you'd have said, you wouldn't believe it. Well, the same thing has happened with me with this podcast, because I've met some truly, truly fabulous people, and I'm now including you in that group as well. And it's just been so overwhelmingly positive of what I've been able to do, and then also to get the interaction from this. And see, the reason I'm bringing that up is because this weekend at the service that I went to, they give you a little booklet, and they have the different things and different prayers and, you know, all this. But one thing that really touched me, because I feel that's so appropriate to our discussion today about you and your life and what you've done, and I wanted to read it to you. But what it is a quote by a gentleman called Edward Everett Hale. And what it says is, I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. And so I just thought that was so powerful. And then when I... Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's appropriate, because it's just like, I can't save the world, but I can save the few people that I can deal with. And that's why all of us, you know, if all of us did a little bit, it would be a large amount at some point.
Oh, sure. It'd be huge. And so it's just a tremendous honor to have you here. And I would love personally, because I'm going to be Indianapolis.
Oh, let me know anytime you're here. We'll get together.
Yeah, I would love to get together, and I'd like to give you some money, because I'd like to help you continue to do what you do. And if any of my listeners would like to do so as well, all you have to do is just go to my website, and there's a PayPal account. And any donation, if you write on there, if you'd like to say give to Alice or some note there.
You know, a lot of times they'll say, here the Hoosier Bears give me money, and they call it Alice's Friends, or Friends of Alice, however you want to.
Okay, yeah, if you want to put that in the subject of the PayPal thing, just let me know. And all the money that I get, I don't care how, you know, because people may listen to the show.
Let's say if they write a check, don't write it to me personally.
Right.
Because I work through the Broadway Methodist Church HIV/AIDS Ministry, and that is a tax-deductible organization.
Okay. Well, what I'll do is if you can maybe get some information from Alice, and you can go to the website, and maybe I can put a link to that or
sure,
at least have the information on. But what I'd like to do is, and what I can do is that people can make a donation to my PayPal account, and then any money that is referenced to you, I will then write a check to whatever it needs to be.
Church.
So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that everybody...
It goes in my account. We have an account at my church for my dinners.
Right.
It's just that it's an organization. I don't like people to write checks to me personally.
Right. No, I mean, I understand, but I'm just saying that I just want the listeners to know that if they want to help continue the efforts that you're doing, then I would like to encourage them to do so, because I think that it's so wonderful. Or if they don't want to do that, then find something that's in their local area and help them and help do this. And maybe if this is inspiring to you, maybe you could do a dinner in your own area.
And I could help them get started and how to make menus up and things like that, because it was hard at first. You kind of go by guess and by gosh.
So you actually make up a menu?
Oh, yes. I do the cooking, and I have the plan. I have a planned menu each week.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I know what I'm fixing.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
The week I do the dinner, I don't plan way ahead. But I have certain kinds of things that, as I laughingly tell them, look at the grocery ad, and whatever's on sale is what you're going to get.
What you're going to get, right?
If ham's on sale this week, ham's what you're going to get.
Well, that's awesome. Now, do you do any special meal for, like, the holiday time? Do you do, like, a turkey thing or a Christmas dinner?
Oh, yes. We have a turkey dinner Thanksgiving time, and we have ham. I usually try to have ham, like, at Christmas, because we've just had turkey. So, we do special at Easter. We meet twice a month, so whatever's going on, you know, in particular
that month,
you know, we go along with it.
Okay. Well, great. Well, Alice, unless you have anything else you'd like to add at all?
Well, I don't know, but I'd like to thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak to others, and hopefully it will be a blessing for you and a blessing for them, too, as they learn to love one another.
Well, I have to tell you personally from, you know, my heart, I just want to say I really appreciate you doing what you do, and I appreciate your support, and I appreciate you being on the program. And so what I'd like to do then is thank all of you for listening to the program, and if you'd like to, please go to my website, which is rambledredhead.com, and please leave a comment about this and any other episode that you listen to. You can also email me at rambledredhead@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. I've heard from so many of you, and I'll have another show thanking all those people. So I just want to do that. Also, you can call my comment line, which is 574-203-4263. And again, you can leave a message. I'll like to put it on the show. And also on my website now, I have a My Chingo account, which you actually go to the website, and over on the left-hand side, there's a, if you have a microphone on your computer, you can actually record a message to me, and I'll receive an email letting me know that it's there, and I'd like to play it on the show. So if you could do that, that would be awesome. So Alice, again, I'd like to thank you for being on the program. You're a wonderful, wonderful person, and I hope I can meet you sometime soon and give you a big hug and thank you for everything. So why don't you say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye, everyone, and thank you very much.
That's it, everybody. Hope you have a great day, and keep on listening to the Ramble Redhead Show.